sing about that from one sense of the word, you know, being touched by God, and also, though, having those eyes to see, we can know a little bit more about that song, you know, that hand of God, that symbolism of the body of Christ. So this is what it feels like. That those symbols that we have, that we have an understanding of in the body of Christ, a better understanding, to know about the hand of God, that fivefold gifted ministry, I'm so glad He laid His hand on me. I'm covered by that hand today. I have a better understanding of knowing what God is doing in the earth today because of Him touching my eyes. And there's another thing that I was thinking about. I was blind and now I see, and I was thinking about the blind man, the one it speaks of in the Bible, how Jesus went over and put the dirt on his eyes and then cleared it up. And when he asked him, "How do you see, men?" And he said, "Well, I don't see him clearly. I see him as trees." But then as he touched him again, he's cleared it up. Now he sees men as they are. You know, that was thinking about that is I want to have my vision continually opened up. I want it to be clearer all the time. Those of us who have glasses, there's nothing worse than a smear on glasses, you know, because it's one thing if you have a little fleck of dust, you can get that off. But when it's smeared and you don't have something good to clean that up, all you do is you just smear it more. And you put them on and then there's a haze and you're like, you know, that's just, you know, you can't do anything. Because you can't look right, you can't really drive right, because then what happens? When that glare hits you from the sun, it just really messes your vision up. So it's so important to have clear eyesight. And I want God to be able to touch my eyes, to take those scales off my eyes so I can see things more clearly, so I can know what direction I need to head. You know, it's wonderful to have the technology that we do today with the GPS and, you know, the Siri telling me where to go all the time, even when she is wrong. Let me tell you, you got to watch her. She'll lead you down wrong ways. But I want to understand really what I'm doing, you know, and I think I've spoken on this before, but how literally the iPhone apps took me, the map was trying to take me the wrong way down Warden. Okay, so if I had just followed what it said, if I hadn't used my understanding and I just blindly went, okay, you know, this is what it says right here. It says to go that way. I would have been going down a one-way street. That would have been really bad. And I want to have my eyes open. I want to have my ears open and to try to understand what's coming across from that ministry, from that fivefold gifted ministry. I want to be aware of all that. So I was just thinking as those songs were coming today, and today the message about, and I didn't get a chance to hear Bible study. I was I got an opportunity to teach the younger people's class, and so I didn't get a chance to hear some of that. But I got from today's service about our faith being built up through circumstances, through things that we grow through trials and through tests. And I was just thinking about how so many times that God has protected me in different circumstances, different situations. You know, when I didn't have any answers, when I didn't have any answers, when I didn't know what to do, when I didn't know what direction to go, when all I knew was I just needed to stand. I needed to stay still a little bit longer. I just needed to say, "Lord, you know, I don't know. I don't have any answers today, God, but Thankfully, I'd been blessed enough to be brought to this place to where I could hear things that helped me to know what to do. You know, even, you know, when you've done all you can do, what? Just stand. Just stand. Don't do anything. Just wait. Just wait on God. Just say, okay, Lord, I'm not moving until I know I need to move. I don't want to go a wrong direction. I want to have those eyes to see and those ears to hear. So I was just those things have just been going on through my mind about being more attentive and also not griping about those situations. You know, when Brother Smith was talking today about different circumstances and what I was getting is also as far as growth, you know, when those trials and tests come my way, I want to be able to be like Paul and say, you know, number one, whatever state I'm in, no matter if I'm abased, no matter if I'm abounding at that time, to be content in that. Because some of that understanding is that that's not where my happiness is at. That's not where my joy is at. The joy of my salvation is, or I should say, the joy in my heart is coming from my salvation. It's understanding what Christ means to me and how He's leading me and what those trials and tests are for. You know, I know in one place, and I don't have the scripture right off, I'm not going to try to look for it right now, but Paul's relating back that, you know, these things that you're going through, those are used for others. If I've went through a trial or a test, and now my brother or sister is going through that, I can use that opportunity that I've went through it to then relate to them, hey, you know what, at the very least, you can do it. You can make it because I made it. Because God was able to strengthen me, and He can strengthen you too. So I want to be able to grow from those situations. I want to be able to have that faith of knowing that whenever these things come my way, if I'll just lift my hands up, if I'll just look toward Him and I'll keep my vision cleared and I'll say, Lord, You lead me where You lead me. And I also need to know how God leads me. I need to be aware that it's not booming out of heaven. That if, you know, He hasn't done that to me yet, Brother McGowan. If He does, I'll let you know. But He has not boomed out of heaven yet to me saying, this is the way you should go. But I've had to be quiet. I've had to listen. I've had to listen to the ministry. I've had the opportunity to listen to the ministry. I know I've been talked to about, it's a wonderful thing to know that I have the right in my salvation in God to search out the scriptures, to look at those things, that I can go back to my minister and say, you know, I don't understand this. Help me with this. Help me to have a better understanding of God's word. Help me to get a closer walk with Him. And I want to have that heart. I want to be able to listen when my brother or my sister, when they have a word of encouragement, when there's something that they've said, you know, I want to have my ears open listening for the voice of God. Just like Elijah, when he was on that mountain, you know, you had the rocks, the hailstorms, everything coming against it, but God wasn't in that for him. It was that still, small voice. And if he hadn't been seeking, if he hadn't been listening for that, he could have missed that. So I don't want to turn my ear away when God's trying to talk to me. I want, whenever there's adversity, like Brother Smith was talking about today, I want to consider, okay, is this adversity because of chance? Was I just in this place and it happened? What is it for my correction? Is it for my growth? You know, I don't want, I know as a child, and my children definitely can relate to this, growing pains, I mean, if you just take the name right there, growing pains. What does that mean? It means I'm going to be growing, but I'm going to be in pain. Well, it's no different in the Word of God. It's no different in my spiritual growth. Sometimes for growth, there's pain. There's things that I'm going to go through so that I can grow up, so that I can apply that to my life, so that as God is helping me to mature, as He's perfecting that inner man in me, and as I'm overcoming that Adamic nature, it's going to be tough sometimes. I'm going to fall down. But what does the Bible say about that? A righteous man falls, but he gets back up again. It's not that he's righteous in himself, but he understands where his help comes from. I've got my hand out to God saying, Lord, help me back up. I may have fallen down, but I know You'll help me back up. And I can come into a place like this. And I can gather with my brothers and sisters and say, Brother Mike Crafton, I haven't been down this road before, but I know you have. What words of encouragement do you have? You know, this is something I'll confess today. I have made errors before in, I went into that masculine shell of, I'm a man, I can handle this. I've got this. I can figure this out. If I ask for help, why, that means I'm weak. That means I'm not able to do something. I'm not good enough man. And you know, the more I went into that, the worse trouble I got into. It's like I'm drowning in the ocean, And instead of waving for help or for a life preserver, I'm like, no, I got it. So maybe somehow I'll learn how to swim all of a sudden. Or some, you know, some miraculous deal will happen and I'll be saved, when all I have to do is just wave my hands and say, hey, I need help today. I need you to, brothers and sisters, I need you to pray for me. I need help. You know, whenever we're sick, what are we told? We're told to call the elders of the church. We're said, hey, you know what? I need you to reach out to God today. I know that my prayers, I know that He's listening to me. But if I can gather with one, two, three, four more, how much more can we pull on God today? How much more can we pull a little bit of heaven into this First Gospel Church and fill what we need to today? You know, this world, it's getting pretty foul. I don't know if anyone else noticed that or not, but it's pretty rough from day to day. And so whenever it comes to Wednesday night, I tell you what, I am ready to get here, and it's like, Lord, cleanse me. Get this world, this get these things out of here. I want to get a little bit closer to you, Lord. And to be able to come into this place and blend my spirit with my brothers and sisters who have the Holy Ghost working in their life, and then the Holy Ghost working in my life, getting together, and that water starts out. Maybe, you know, have you ever been to where you just put your toe in the water a little bit? Oh, that feels nice, you know? But then you put, you get down a little bit deeper. It starts to come up to your ankles. And then you get a little bit deeper, and now you're into your knees. Well, you know what? I would love to feel that spirit flowing, Brother Durham, where I can be swimming in that, and not just to fill the spirit for the spirit's sake of it, but to understand that that's what I need to continue to help me to grow. I can have more of that spirit so it leads me more into truth, and I can get that closer walk with Him that I really need, Brother Painter. I need that in my life. I want to pray for a stronger desire. You know, I know that within myself, there's going to be times that, emotionally speaking, you know, I get into that pity party mode, and it's like, I don't want you to even help me. I want to be over here, and I want to be in a bad mood. I don't want to do anything. I'm just going to sit here and whine. Well, you know what? Emotionally, if I stay in that, I'm not going to get anywhere, am I? But it's that time that I have to go back and say, okay, no, that's not what I need to do. That's not how I'm going to grow. I've got to say, I've got to put that aside and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you here today. You know, Brother Smith, I'm not from the standpoint of a lost sinner that's out in the world, but I need to run up here. If it's just in my mind, I need to run up to this altar and say, ooh, I need the Lord. I need the Lord stronger in my life today. I want that Holy Ghost stronger. I want to touch in to, I'd like to feel a little bit of paradise. I know that we don't go along those teachings anymore about going in and out, but I'd like to be able to get enough of that spirit to where I can. I have that hunger, Brother Smith, if you've been teaching those things. I want to step into that second heaven condition and stay there. I want to be able to walk above that sin nature to where God can truly have His perfect work in my life. And I know that we're still striving for that. We're still trying to get to that place. But this is something that's been on my mind lately. If I'm not trying to apply these principles to my life today, the things that are being brought through or brought by the ministry and the hand of God in this day that I have right now, I'm never going to see that. If I'm not faithful, and that's what Brother Smith was talking about today, being called, chosen, and faithful. God has called me. I know that. I'm saying, Lord, send me, but now I've got to be faithful. I've got to be faithful. And it's not, you know, I was thinking about the, so many times, you know, we hear of things about grace and about the works. And I know I'm not trying to put the works of the law back in my life. That was done away with. But as far as I want to put into practice the things that God is putting into my life. If He's dealing with my heart about whether it's, you know, I need to be able to work on my own spirit. Allow Him to work on my spirit. If I need to praise the Lord a little bit more, lift up my hands and reach out to Him, then I need to do that. If God is talking to me to do that today, then I don't want to turn a deaf ear. I need to look up and say, Lord, if that's what you want for me to do, then I need to do that. Because I want to be faithful for the day in which I'm working. This is my day. I'm not back there in the early church. I wasn't a contemporary with Martin Luther. I wasn't there with Brother Souders. I wasn't even there in 1953 when the new experience was poured out in the campground. I wasn't there. It's not my fault. I wasn't born yet. But today, this December 1st, 2013, this is my opportunity right now to do something for God. Today is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This day, right here. And I know we're talking about a time frame when we talk about today and the day of the Lord. But right now I'm using it in the literal sense of I don't have tomorrow. God didn't, today, I didn't get a memo or an email or a text or a Facebook or a Twitter or a tweet or whatever it's called. I didn't get any of that, Sister Durham. God didn't tell me, hey, by the way, just letting you know, tomorrow, you're good. I got you back. You're going to have tomorrow. I didn't get that. I don't know, but you know what I know I have right now? Right now. And right now is my opportunity to lift my hands to Him. Right now is my opportunity to praise my Savior. Right now is my opportunity to say, God, have your perfect work in me as much as I'll keep myself on that altar. I'll put myself on that brazen altar and I'll say, God, burn a little more of that flesh off me today, Lord. And I know that burning flesh stinks, Lord. I'm sorry. But get all that out of me so I can be a pure offering. That I can burn that sweet incense to you one day in that holy place. On that golden altar, I can be a sweet smell. I can send up sweet smell to the Lord. That's what I want to be in the Lord's nostrils tonight, a sweet smell. I want to lift my hands to Him. I want to give Him that wave offering and praise Him because He's worthy. He's worthy. Is He any less worthy because we haven't seen the Red Sea part of today? Is He any less worthy because we haven't seen the three Hebrew boys that passed through the fire? Let me tell you, He's worthy. He gave me the gift of the Holy Ghost in my life. He saved me from my sin. He saved me from my past sins, so I want to lift Him up today. I want to praise Him for putting me under this hand, this wonderful ministry of God. I'm just thankful to be here.
Words that we heard today, I really believe we're privileged to hear. We've got a man that God is dealing with. He gives us words, food for our soul. I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. You know, you don't realize how great the words are that we're hearing until you start trying to share them yourself. I was trying to share some of our words, our beliefs, Brother Smith, with some people this week, and they were sitting there looking at me, and at that time I wished I'm going to have to listen some more. I've got to get this in my head, in my heart. We've got to be a light. Brother Smith was telling us that today. We've got to be a light. We can't be, Brother Lindegren used to word it, a reservoir. We're not a reservoir. You know, we can't receive what God's given us and just keep it to ourselves. But rather, we're supposed to be part of that stream of living water where we can share with others. Last week, I was sitting in a parking lot, and I was waiting on a load to be put on my truck. This van pulls up in front of me. I'm about 30 feet out in front of me. This fella gets out of this van. He pulls out a mat, lays it on the ground. Gets down on his mat, kneels down on it, kneels down about five times. I was sitting there watching him. And he supposedly is praying. I guess that's what he was doing. And I was assuming he was another religion, Islam. But I was sitting there watching him thinking, you know, if these people, and he wasn't trying to push it on me. I know that in other countries they do that. But, you know, if these people can stand for what they believe, even though it's wrong, like in the Old Testament, them people believed like they did. That's why God wanted to kill them, because they believed like they did, and they weren't willing to surrender to the truth. That's where they were in the Old Testament. And that's the way they are here today. They believe like they do. And I'm not real sure if I'd have got out of my truck and went over there and talked to that man, if he would have listened to me. He might have got violent. I don't know. But I want to be a light. I want to be a light, whether I'm right here in front of you folks or whether I'm out there all by myself. And that's where every one of us has got to be. Elsewise, how can we be a light to this world? The Bible plainly tells us to be a light to this world. We're the reason, as a matter of fact, this world hasn't been destroyed. Us and others, I'm not talking about just us here in this church, but people that stand for God, people that believe in righteousness, believe in the positive way to go. God told them in the Old Testament, that's not even profitable what you're doing. But God was trying to show them a way that was profitable to them, a way that would be productive. And Brother Smith was telling us today, I don't think you use that scripture, but he was talking about it rains on the just and on the unjust. You know, we catch what this world goes through. But at the same time, it's for a purpose. And I do believe that it is for a purpose, so we can be a light to this world. When these people see it, well, like the three Brother Phil was talking about a while ago, those three Hebrew children, when they walked through the fire, I don't really think they wanted that, but they was willing to go through it. Here we are today. I don't particularly want trouble, to be honest with you folks. I don't want to have to run for my life or even walk fast. I don't want to do that either. But we are going to go through what we're going to go through. You know, and really, we won't even be afraid of death. I believe when we reach that place in God that we're supposed to reach, it won't matter anymore. It will not matter. People can take us out, but we've got a place in God. Jesus told them people, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And that's what he was telling us, the same thing. We've got a place right now. And we can walk in that place. This course that Brother Smith keeps telling us we got to go through. I think, like I said, I don't want to go through trouble. But I do want the end result of that. I want it. I want the end result. I wish I could just snap my finger and have it. Like playing my horn. I wish I could snap my finger and quit missing notes. Get my timing down pat. And as you folks can listen to us, sometimes we don't get it down pat. And Brother McGowan tells us the most important notes is the first one and the last one. And I have trouble with the first one. I can get the last one. y'all keep praying for me. Brother Smith said he wanted some specials, and I'm going to get up and torture you folks in time when I get brave enough. You know. But anyway, I want what God has, but I don't want to go through the course. And that's what Brother Smith keeps telling us. You know, you take steel and you get it hot, and then you get it cold by pouring water on it, and you get it hot, and then you pour water on it to get cold, and you're hardening it. You know, we talk about we don't want to be hard, but we do want to be strong for God, and it's a process that steel has to go through, and raising a garden and making cakes and anything else is a course, is a process you got to go through, and the same principle with us. Brother Smith, I appreciate you telling us that and reminding us of that. Those of me, like me, that wants to snap my finger and be there, well, I have to be reminded. Brother Paul, there's a course you got to go through. There's a walk you walk. There's a growth you go through. I appreciate that. I appreciate you reminding me of that. And not only do I appreciate Brother Smith, but I appreciate you people walking that path with me. Also, I'm a little bit late on this testimony, but you know what? That meeting that we had, I really appreciated working with you folks in that meeting. I was tired. I was sore. There was days I didn't want to say bye to anybody when I left, and I didn't. I just left. You know, you get scared to say bye. You're scared to say, oh, Brother Paul, come here. I got a job for you. Oh, no, no, no. You don't have a job for me. No, you don't. So you just walk out and you don't say bye to anybody. That's why you do that. But anyway, you just kind of sneak out. But you know what? There's a feeling that comes with serving God and waiting on God's people. Oh, I've done told all of y'all how to get out of here. I wish I hadn't done that. Now y'all be sneaking out the door. But there's a feeling that goes with serving God's people. And Brother Smith, I haven't got a report. I hope y'all did good up here. I felt like we did good downstairs. We worked, and we didn't have hard feelings toward one another. I enjoyed that. And when the last day of our meeting, I went home, and I got my horn out and blowed it for about an hour until my lips got so tired I couldn't blow it anymore. I tried to unwind, and I sat down and was reading my Bible, and there was a feeling there. I'm talking about besides the feeling of just getting to sit down and enjoying that. But there was a feeling of serving God's people, waiting on God's people, knowing that there was people that thought enough of us that they were willing to come be with us. I thought, my God, my God, my God, this is such a good feeling, good feeling. And I know there was some of y'all that didn't get to work with us. Our brother Curtis came up here. I could see the look on his face. He would rather have been here. Brother Curtis, I know your heart, brother. We all know your heart. Sister Holly was aggravated because she didn't get to work here every day. And then there was Brother York's three daughters. They wanted to be here. I know they did. Now, I'm sure there was others of you that wanted to be here that I don't even know about. But I just want you folks to know I appreciate y'all. That wonderful feeling. You know, when you get together with people that want to go in a positive direction, I know I'm off course right here, Brother Smith. Just let me say this. But when you get together with people that want to go in a positive direction, they at least want to do right. Those like me that might not always do right, at least I want to. Even when I walk out the door and I'm sneaking out. But I want to do right. I want to serve God. I want to put Him first. I was telling Brother Brian, I said, you know, there's such a good feeling. And all week I went to work, and there was a good feeling that just followed me around. I thought, my God, I don't even deserve this. But it was a good feeling, a good feeling. I felt like somebody had their arms wrapped around me. Y'all, there's a song there, Ben plays, Sheltered in the Arms of God. I love that song. It tells my story right there. And but I just know that there's people here that wants to do right, people that want to go in a positive direction. And I know y'all was sore too, because I heard different ones of you talking about your feet and your back and different things. But you know what? God sees our heart. He sees our heart. And I tell him, Brother Brian, I'd do it again 100 more times. You know, I may get to be such an old man one day that I'm not able to even walk around very much. I was limping around down there during our meeting. But I knew that we were sending a message to God. You know, you send a message to God with the things you say, talking about murmuring and attempts. They were sending a message to God. But we send a message to God with what we do. The way we act, the way we present ourselves. We're being a light, and we're sending a message to God. I appreciate that. I appreciate a church, being a part of a church like that. Being a part of people that want to do right, want to go in a positive direction. I appreciate you folks. God is good. He's our best friend. You know, just letting us be here, letting us be a part of His kingdom. You know what? There's hardly a better blessing that we could have. And I watch this world. I think Brother Phil was talking about it a while ago. This world is going in a direction. I mean, any time that you can't even turn on the radio or the television without hearing the people talk the way they talk, that lets you know they're going in the direction. And that's not the direction we're going. I'm not going that direction. There's a church over here in Bryant. They changed their name on their church. And I was driving down the road yesterday, and Sally and I went by it, and I said, I wonder why they changed that name on their church. And she made a comment to me. She said, well, Paul, duh. Now I'm going to say this to y'all, and I know it makes her look bad, but she's just looking at it realistically. You see, when I say this world's going in a given direction, we're not going that way. But she said, Paul, think about it. These people had the name Pentecost rolling on their sign. And people are trying to get away from that, because when you mention that to people, they look at you like, you must be some kind of strange person. Well, you know, that offended me when she said that. And I had a hard time getting over that. Because, you see, you can mention other names, lifestyles that people live out here. And people want to glorify that. And that offends me too. But it's supposed to, I guess. Because, you know, if we love righteousness, then vile people, the Bible talks about vile people, we won't hold them in esteem. And you know what? It's according to which group of people we want to be a part of. Whether we want to be a part of the people that's going in a positive direction or part of the big crowd. Wide is the gate and broad is the way, and many there be that find it. But we're not looking for that way, because anybody can find that way. We're not looking for that way. We're looking for the way. It said, what is that scripture about? And there's a way, a highway, and a wayfaring man shall not err therein. Nobody's going to stumble on this path that we're walking. It ain't going to happen. This is a path that we're taking on purpose. And we even have to have God's help to do that. But I want to walk this path. And I want the day, when the day comes, that people want to try me for being a Christian. I hope there's a ton of evidence to substantiate the charge. I want that charge to stick. You know what I mean? I want it to. This nature I was born with, I want to kill that nature, because that is going to drag me down. That is going to drag me the same direction that these other people are going. When they let their self sit on the throne of their heart, I'm sorry, Brother Smith, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When they let their self sit on the throne of their heart, then naturally they're not going to go the way that our Lord wants us to go. It's only when we let the Lord sit on the throne of our heart. And I consider it an honor. I consider it an honor to be a part of you people. And if y'all want to put the word Pentecostal out there all over the front of this church, that's fine with me. I'll get out there and help you. I want people to know that I'm guilty as charged of going with God. I want people to know that. They may look at me like I'm some kind of strange person. You know, there's a saying, you know, they called people Jesus freaks. You know what? That don't bother me. They probably thought Jesus was a freak when you get right down to it. They probably thought that. But our Lord was not a freak. We're not freaks. And convincing this world of that, we may not be able to do that. But it don't matter. It don't matter. I love God, and I want to go in a positive direction. I want Him to know I want to go in a positive direction. I love God tonight. I love you people. And I appreciate y'all letting me work with y'all in that meeting. Even if I did have to sneak out, I'm telling you, I was so tired. I wouldn't have done y'all a good job if I'd have stayed. You know what I mean? So I was probably doing you a favor by sneaking out. Anyway, God's good.
Get my 6 months over with for right now, so we can wait another 6 months until I testify again. But I'm thankful for being here and hearing the words we heard tonight. And sometimes, you know, being a former college student, you know, we took a lot of tests, and then spiritually we take a lot of tests, and sometimes I feel like I get a C- or a C+, but at least one thing, we're not getting an F on our report card. If we don't get the F, we're still passing, but we're not getting the F. So as long as I get my C+ or my C- in my walk with God, I'm feeling pretty good. And, you know, I'm going to make another analogy, and I maybe said this time and time after again, but to me, sometimes our spiritual life is just a roller coaster. It's slow going up that hill. And you hear those grinding things going up there while you're going up on top. And then finally you hit the top. You're on top of that mountain. But you know, only about 2 seconds, and where are you going? Straight down. and I'm thinking, oh, Lord. And then your life, sometimes I feel like I'm in one of them loop-de-loop-de-loop-de-loop. I don't know how much centrifugal force you'd have to actually make several loops, but I know I've been over. And then you're on top, but you're upside down. So, you know, you think, okay, I'm on top, and there's the ground, so, you know. But, you know, that's how I look at my spiritual life sometimes. I feel like I'm on just a big old roller coaster. And even though I might be on top, I'm still upside down. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, here we go. But, you know, life keeps on going. But, you know, different ones we're talking about this week. You know, it was Thanksgiving week. First time in my life, I wasn't at home with my family. I was stuck at Wally World. I got to eat Thanksgiving dinner at Wally World, but I was there. And met a couple of other people were making comments. I'll just leave it alone on that other comment. But it was Black Friday, and I was working in the milk room. And I was watching this anticipation of people's behavior. People were just waiting in line. I wish I'd like to see people waiting on line to come in this building. Just waiting in line. But they were just waiting in line. They had folding chairs. Just waiting in line. And then people were getting their, 100 people were getting their armbands so they can get that one special item. Hopefully I can get that one special item, get an eternal life. But, you know, they want that one special item. Okay, then I was working in the milk room. Shame on me. I made a little hole in the milk where I didn't put all the milk in the spot so I could watch people. I thought, this is fun. If I was back in college making a sociology paper, just watching people's behavior. They were a sea of people out there. I could look clear across the building. All you seen was heads of people waiting like vultures. They were just waiting. And I thought, this is eccentric. I mean, I'm thinking, these people are just waiting on a special. And then all of a sudden, 5 minutes till, they were security officers that were clothed and unclothed. You know, plain clothes and regular clothes. You know, but let me straighten my more words out. Plain clothes and then regular security officers, and I was watching them, but 5 minutes till, somebody ripped one of them bags and started just throwing stuff to each other. And I thought, this ain't even 6 o'clock yet, and these people are already. I mean, I can understand why Darwin came up with a theory. I mean, they were acting like monkeys out there. So, I mean, I thought, dang, it's so strange how people just go wild. And then all of a sudden, you know, I was still doing my milk room, keeping everything in order. And then finally, after about 3 hours, when all the dust settled, I came out. You know, it was still, there were people elbowing people, knocking people down, not paying attention. They were just going after that one item for determination. And I'm thinking, if people were just determined to make the bride, just to make the bride, that determined, you know. So I'm thankful I'm here. And I'm thankful for all that I'll just say this much. It seems like there's people out there just nuts. And I mean, I've seen some pretty interesting behavior in the last week or so. And I know I might do some pretty interesting things, but at least I feel like I got my sanity. But I'm thankful I'm in the body of Christ. And I'm thankful that I'm still trying to work on my roller coaster, going uphill as much as I can. And I know I'm going to hit my loop-de-loop-de-loop-de-loop-de-loops. But all you have to do is just hold on to the rails. Hold on tight. And we'll make it. We'll make it. It's one of those things. We'll definitely make it. And, you know, I just wish I would. Oh, you know, there's a guy at work. He wears a pentagram. Okay, I went down to myself. I thought, I'm going to go buy me a crucifix and put it around my neck and see what kind of response I get. So, being honored as I am, I went by the pentagram guy and said, "Hey, Tyler, how's things going?" He said, "Cool cross." I said, "Thank you," and went on. So, you know, I thought, well, he appreciated it. So, you know, but, you know, I thought, me and Tyler, I can talk to him, even though I know how he thinks. He just saw that I had my cross on, and I thought, well, he knows at least I'm a Christian, or a so-called Christian. But hopefully, Paul, I hope we're both charged, guilty as charged. We're Christians. No doubt about it. Let me see. We don't let Neil or Matt. We don't have to look to the east. But we can at least pray daily without ceasing. You know, they think they gotta pray five times a day. We can pray without ceasing. So I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be in the body of Christ. And anybody want to, they can get on my roller coaster and we can go around the world and see what happens.
More to me than I. Keith, when you said that you, as long as you had a C plus, you, you was content, but I want an A. I want to get an A. I'm hoping that I can do better than a C plus. But I don't mean that in a bad way, but I do appreciate the Lord, and that one day he did lay his hand on me, and that his mercy has followed me. And I appreciate it. I appreciate that his mercy. He's had mercy on me through so many things. And I know if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here today. Well, I wouldn't be here today. And I appreciate, like Brandon said, where he brought me from. You know, we've been through a lot. But I'm so glad that I'm still here. And you've got to hang on. You can't quit. There used to be a song Brother Larry Riley sang, "I'm not about to quit. I mean to make it all the way." I miss that song. I wish somebody would sing that sometime. But and by his mercy, I won't quit. You know, I've heard people say, "Well, I'll never quit," you know. And I thought, Lord, I hope they can make it, you know, because I don't want to stand up and just say, "Oh, you know, I'm never going to quit," because the Lord puts us through a lot of things and trials and tests. And I just want to say by his mercy that I won't quit, you know, because I thought I've come too far. You know, I'm like that song, I've crossed the hot burning desert. And I just appreciate that the Lord has, you know, kept his hand upon me and showed me mercy through all my silliness and, you know. But I mean to make it. I mean to make it all the way. And I'm hoping to, one of these days I get an A, Brother Keith. I get an A.
I just wanted to give a praise report today. Hadn't gone up in a long, long time. And I just wanted to first acknowledge my pastor, Brother Smith. We had some plumbing problems, and he actually got his hands dirty in it. And I've never seen in my entire life a pastor of a church actually dig down deep and get into the mess of things. But Brother Smith did. Fred helped too, and trying to figure out our problem. And of course, Brother Randy put in his time too, and we appreciated all y'all's efforts. And then we finally got a professional opinion from the brothers Durham. And hopefully we can act on that. But I just wanted to acknowledge my pastor. He's a good man. I really showed his colors yesterday, worked till night, and with everything that's been going on. I hate to be the crybaby. I'm sorry. You can't understand what I'm saying, and I really can't say what I'm trying to say anyway. But my heart is here. I appreciate Brother Smith and my husband allowing me to work in the areas that I work and dedicate my time here to the church. They say that the biggest way, or in my instance, the biggest way of leading is actually, you know, being led is by example. I can hear people say, you need to do this, you need to do that. But until I see it in action, it's just mere words to me. And Brother Smith and the brothers here and the sisters here have proved that to me time and time again by their actions. I want to let you know that I'm encouraged today. I know we're winners. We're going through trials, but in the end, we're going to win. We're not losers. We're gonna win. We're going through all this for a reason, to make us stronger. And I just appreciate being here. Thanks.
I really enjoyed the people, just seeing everybody together, working together in harmony and everything. It was just a blessing. I felt like I was having church downstairs. It was just really good. The people are so sweet. The people coming and going, and also our people. It seemed to me like everything went real smooth. I really, really enjoyed the meeting. Steve, I think by the last day he was kind of wore out, and sorry about that. He hates it. He didn't used to get like that. And this last weekend after the meeting, he got an abscess in his jaw, and I had to take him back to the doctor and get antibiotics on that. But I caught it before the holiday hit, thank God, because it was really getting bad. And I'm just thankful that we got the help we needed in time and that it is getting better. And seems like we get one thing taken care of and something else crops up. It just, you know, I know it says that God, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you, that it is some strange thing or whatever that occurs to us, and like God sends us through. Yes, I know he does do tests and trials, but sometimes it's just common to humankind that we have to go through these things. It's just everyday needs, everyday problems. It seems like, you know, there's not a day you don't wake up that there's not something staring in the face that is just demanding to be taken care of. And, you know, people have needs. I mean, just other people have needs. And there's always something to do and always something to take care of. I just am so thankful this church is still here, that our people are still here. I told my brother, I talked to him, his birthday was the 22nd of November, which is the day that President Kennedy was assassinated. And I told him, I said, we never knew your birthday was going to become so famous. And I was just kind of joking with him, teasing him, you know. But I told him, he's really getting hungry for the Lord again. And my niece got on the phone, which is John. John was raised in school here, John Corbin Jr. And my niece told me, she said, Debbie, I am just really feel like I need the Lord. I need to get closer to the Lord. She said, I wish I knew some good people where to go to church. And I said, well, you need to go to our church. I said, our people are all over. And I said, there are no sweeter people than our people. That's what drew me to this church was the love I found here and the kindness that comes from God. It has to come from God because He puts a love in our heart that nobody else really knows, that this world doesn't know. And I find that love in our people. I feel like a lot of people that don't have family or whatever have found that love here. And people that do have families, families that don't accept them out there, you know, I mean, have found the love here. And we're just like brothers and sisters. We aggravate each other and we play around and we tease and do things, you know, just like sisters and family and brothers do. But we're close. You let somebody come against us and you see where we are. See who takes up for you. Well, I'm thankful to be a part of the body of Christ. It's been a long journey, but we're not through yet. And we've lost a lot of good ones on the way. I've known a lot of sweet, dear, dear souls in this church and in the body. They've all touched my lives, and I'm thinking, you know, that's valuable. That's valuable, all these people that we've known. And we'll know, and we'll know. There's new ones coming along, and no telling where this is going to wind up, you know. But I'm thankful to be here, thankful for who we have here. I'm sorry for all that people are suffering and go through. I know Jesus is sorry. He was here, and He wasn't treated well either. And so whenever I feel like, you know, things are bad, I know that Jesus, it's not His will that any should perish. It's not His will that we should suffer, but it makes us better. It helps us be better people. It helps us to be better to one another if we have more understanding of what the other one's going through, maybe. It teaches us to be more kind and more thoughtful. And I'm just glad to be here, be a part of this. I don't know why God included me. But He touched me one day, and I'll never forget it, never forget how He touched me, that He was there for me when no one else was. And I know He's ever present. I know that He doesn't bring a lot of things on us that we bring on ourselves, but it seems like He sends somebody to be there for us to help us get through it, and His Spirit is there to help us get through it. I just love each and every one of you, and I'm looking forward to starting a new year with y'all, a brighter year, a closer year to God. I pray that through all this turmoil that the world has got us in, that I pray that we can draw closer to God through this next year and draw closer to one another. I love you dearly, and you may not understand me. You may not know how much I love you, but I want you to know. I do want to give my love to you. Thank you for being here for us, because you have been, and thank you for all that you've done. I'll never forget it. And I love you.
Remember the first time my mom asked me to help her with a song to help hit the high notes, and now I'm there. Get my daughter to help me out. So Sister Debbie, that's not unusual. What you were saying, Brother Steve, was worn out by the end of that. Most of us were. It just kind of comes with that time and chance Brother Smith was talking about. So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, and my frustration gets so out of hand. It's then I am reminded I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand a test alone. As I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me. It's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, just hold on, our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. Sometimes I feel defeated, discouraged by my trials, and the fire is getting hard to stand. The enemy is trying take the victory from me, and I can't fight with just the strength of man. And my heart cries out to heaven, and I feel his love surround me. I know that I can face this world and win. So I am going to trust him, and he will be there by me to walk with me through flames of life again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help will always come in time. Remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, give in, just hold on, our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy. The hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said help will always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in. Just hold. Circumstances and things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, and my frustration gets so out of hand. Then I am reminded I've never been forsaken, I've never had to stand the test alone. As I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me. It's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting. Just remember when you're sad.
blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mm. Oh, blessed Lord, blessed Lord. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. We love our glory and our love. Appreciate this, these services today. You know, the Bible says when one of us mourn, we all mourn. We can't get too high in services right now because we got family in here that's going through trials. But the time will come when God will lift us up out of these trials. We'll run and shout. The joy of the Lord will return again. We'll rejoice. He'll have us on a mountaintop together. So you can feel the Spirit can, you know, the Spirit, you know, knows where we're at. You can feel that. And I love these experiences because it does, like Brother Fisher said, it helps us to grow, develop. But I like the experiences too when things are going so good you can't hold yourself back. You just got to shout, holler, run, and that's coming. That'll come back. You watch. When it does, you better get out of the way. This old man's liable to take off. I'm a bad hip and all. I get to feeling good. And I think I can do it. Hallelujah. All right. God bless you. See you Wednesday night. Prayer meeting, 7 o'clock. Church at 7:30. Try to eat all your turkey and dressing up and get that over with so we can get back to normal. If you can't handle, you know, if you got pecan pie and pumpkin pie left over, well, invite me over. I'll help you.